This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Is Jay Norvell his own worst enemy? Sean Keeler seems to think so, or at least he's becoming that. In the Denver Post today, CSU Rams coach Jay Norvell is becoming his own worst enemy in FOCO. Sean Keeler, how about that, huh? How about that for an introduction for you?
It's not killing me softly.
I know. We have to bend the rules.
I'm not the one killing myself. I'm just keep going back at you on that, my friend. Good afternoon. Yeah. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, or was it 3 weeks ago? We're like, boy, you got a big homestand coming up with these three games.
Yeah.
It's not great. Not great, Bob. Not great.
No, not great. Sean, I was at that game, and I was... And I respect so much about the communications crew, you know, being able to go to press boxes is such an honor. It's a luxury. It's so cool. But I wanted to be on my couch, being able to flip back and forth. You know, honestly, the parts of the Wyoming Buffs game were more interesting than this.
Having been in the Wyoming Buffs game, yeah, parts. Wyoming was like watching, a little bit like watching my alma mater, the Mighty Northwestern Wildcats, and that's not a compliment. But they're scrappy. They're not quick. The Buffs could outrun them all day long, and they did. So I don't know how sexy that was. But, you know, a funny thing is we're sitting in Boulder, you know, kind of watching from afar, and some people had the game on the computers, and some people had the score bug up, and we're like, God dang, those Rams did it again. They've got the most interesting game of the most exciting end of the day.
Yeah.
Yet again, for a second weekend in a row. You know what? It wouldn't shock me if that's the case this weekend, too, because as I know you're going, there's a lot at stake. I think there's a lot riding on this one.
Do you think, like, when you say a lot at stake, if they lose to Washington State, who doesn't seem to be very good, like, is that it for Jay Norvell?
It might be. I get a lot of buzz on kind of both sides of that argument. I think they're going to win, frankly, full disclosure. And I'm not, again, rooting for Jay and his staff to run into any trouble. I think that there's a lot of support internally from John Weber, but I think he's getting a lot of pressure externally. I think there's some real tug of war going on. That's making everybody a little uncomfortable, that these other two games would have made more comfortable, you would have thought, in theory. I kind of thought of these two coming up, or rather between UTSA and Wazoo, was probably going to be a split either way. But yeah, I think you've got some real serious discussions that have been going and ongoing, and it's not helped by the fact that the biggest elephant in the room has never left, and that is you've got a major Group of Five coach who's only got, am I doing the math right, a year, 16 months left on his contract, 14 months, and doesn't have an extension, and still doesn't. And I would say in 90%, certainly in Power 4 programs, you're not dangling like that unless you've got some serious internal political doubt, right? Like, that coach and that agent are telling you, I cannot recruit with a year out. You've got to give me 2 years out. You've got to give me at least 18 months. You've got to give me some assurance, or I can't recruit off this.
That's a great point.
And they have been, to their credit. The Rams have been, and Jay have been. But now we're into the season, and we're coming on the, yeah, whatever it is, 14, 15-month countdown to the end of this contract. And people are going to use that, and they have used that. And I think the fact that And I'll say this, and email will pop up any minute, that there's an extension signed, the problem solved. Ha-ha! But the fact that it's been as quiet as it's been, at least externally, on that front, we've asked John Weber about it. Others have asked John Weber about it. It isn't telling in a great way, and I hope there's some resolution one way or another, because when you combine a kind of indifferent, to that's maybe a kind adjective, start with the fact that you're coming to a year of that contract being out, it's hard not to do the math on that one, right? I mean, I don't want to do that kind of math, but if you were looking at this any other place, you'd be like, boy, that coach might be in trouble.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, you said it like, hey, could we be surprised and see an extension pop up? I think at this stage, fans, because it does seem like most of the fans, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but what I've seen have certainly turned on Jay Norvell at this stage. And that game against UTSA, yeah, they were excited to see Jackson Brissot get in, and then he performed, but then it goes to what took you so long. So it was kind of a lose-lose situation for Jay, waiting that long to put him in.
Right. And I mentioned that in the column that's up today at DenverPost.com. And then you have this moment of euphoria, and I think you and I agree on the extra point decision, and certain, you know, Kevin Lytle does not. That's fine. It's free. As far as we know, Jimmy Kimmel told me last night it's a free country, so I'm guessing for now this week it's still a free country. We could disagree. And it's sports, and that's fine. But, yeah, when you then have a find a hot hand, you know, a little late, but you get there, good, that's progress. And then you tie it up, you take the point off, and then you take the hot hand out.
Yeah, what are we doing? Sean, the play was like, okay, Taj Bullock's in, but then as soon as he snaps the ball, he rolls to the right. You've cut off an entire half of the field, too, so many things wrong with that.
You do the Bill Walsh sprint right option with a guy who hasn't completed a pass all year and is coming in cold. When you've got a hot quarterback that you've got moving already, we're not rooting against his staff and this administration, but let's put it this way. Here's the thing, and I think I apologize if you mentioned this in your editorial, because I did see your feed. I do read what you write.
Thank you, Sean. You and my mom.
You and my mom. Yeah. Christ, more than I can say for mine. No, but here's the thing, and I thought about this Monday, and I asked Jay about this. They're like, who asked Jay at the end of the news conference if he still felt better about that call? I did, because I was curious, genuinely curious, because I watched the film. And at that time, I remember saying this to Tyler King of Gazette. I said, you know, we're always geniuses the day after. We're super geniuses 48 hours after and what have you. But when that call still feels risky, even if it works, it's not a good call. When you're still like, boy, I don't know that you should have done that. It's the wrong call. And you say, well, if it had worked, you would have said it was the right call. No, I don't care. I don't like taking points off the board.
I'm same. Yep.
You don't do that. And you say, it's cliche. It's what it is. No, because I think you're also sending a vote of no confidence to your defense, and you're sending a vote of no confidence to Brissot. I think there are a lot of reasons why you don't do that there, and you need, which gets back to the point of what we're talking about, yeah, you need to win. Jay Norvell is trying to win. He's not trying to win, but not there. Not at that moment in that way. And maybe they'll turn it all around and pull a close one out this weekend, and all's well and good, and you've got another bowl team. I think that's still possible and still in the cards, but doubt is a hard virus to stamp, and dissent is a hard virus to stamp down. And they're dealing with both, and I hope they can get it turned around, and they probably need to, because it's getting worse.
Yeah, well, and like I said, even with the quarterback change, it's one of those like double-edged swords. If Jackson Brissot comes out and he's just, let's just say he's ripping it up and the Rams win big, then you're going to have the fan base like, why did it take Jay Norvell so long to evaluate who should really be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's a darned if you do, darned if you don't, and much stronger language than that. And that's not necessarily fair, although you could make that argument about the UTSC game, because at least they pulled out the UNC one. Would it have changed Washington? No, I probably wouldn't have. But Yeah, I think you have to get there, and I think the good news is there's at least time going forward that if Brousseau is all that and is at least baseline decent to run what you've got to run, then you've got to do that. Because, again, I think I don't know. It's weird to me because go back to the point about, well, he's 15 months out from – and here's – you know, maybe we should do the math on this. Jay Norvell is not coaching like he's 15 months out from the end of the contract, if that makes sense. Like, there isn't as much of a desperation other than maybe that last play. And maybe that was it. You know, maybe a guy who has a contract extension doesn't make that call, if you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't feel like, boy, I've got to do
good
this
point
right here. But that could also be because the best player on the field was not your player. It was the UTSC tailback. Is, geez, he's a new Genty. Like, you're like, I don't know that I can stop this guy. In his defense, that's an NFL tailback. So I get it in the moment, and we have to react to the heat of the moment. And again, we're all wiser in hindsight. But I'll just go back to my first paragraph in the column that's up today, and that is, boy, they're throwing a lot of stuff against the wall, aren't they? And I don't know how much of it is sticking. And that's the problem, is you've got to get stuff that sticks. And hopefully this weekend, maybe they do.
Yeah, this whole thing has been a fascinating turn of events. I mean, going back to Jay Norvell's comments about BFN and letting us in on the secrets of the trade with what was allegedly going down with K-State and BFN and the $600,000. You know, and I think you and I have even talked about it. Like, what if that bites him in the butt? And I think it has at this point. I don't know how many people actually look back at that and think about that, but that's certainly part of a shtick surrounding Jay Norvell and his quarterback.
Yeah, and he went to bat for Braden, and he rode that pony, and the legs aren't working anymore on that thing. I don't know. I've heard different things about why Braden is where he is, and you certainly want the young man to be right in all facets of his life. And that's the most important thing. Again, perspective. Let's take the broad view of this. That Braden the person is the most important thing, and you have to respect that. But again, contract. You know, I think there has to be a limited window of forgiveness that way, especially when that young man is making you look bad. To your point, he just is. And his lack of development and his inconsistency is not making you look very good at your job.
Yeah.
In any function. So
no question, Sean. We'll see what happens against Washington State this weekend, and then we start conference play. And you know, if they can survive Washington State, it's a conference that feels a little bit open, but it also feels like Boise State's about ready to find their footing. And then you have some surprise teams, too. I mean, I think Air Force, if they can just stop like three more times in games, they could actually win some games. We might see some of those teams in the Mountain West that we thought would be good start to round out, too. So it's a very sensitive time right now for Colorado State.
Yeah, and Utah State's.
Yes, yeah. How could I forget that? Yeah,
right. And that's a place where you're like, where did they?
Yeah.
Where did they come from? So, again, it's certainly enough that nothing is off the table, but I don't think you want to be going into that league 1-3. I think that's not where you want to be, and I think the temperature is not at a great place for anybody in CSU athletics or CSU football if you have to answer to your fan base, ultimately, why you're 1-3. And we haven't seen it yet. I'll be very curious about the turnout. If you're looking for a sign about where things are going with the Rams besides the result, which is the most important thing, obviously, is look at the crowds. If it's Daz level, 30% empty seats, 40% empty seats, which I don't think it will be. Look out, because that's compounding problems you've already got.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the turnout looks like for sure. Sean, appreciate you as always. Very interesting read, as always, and we'll see what you come up with next week.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. See you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. I mean, I don't see any surprise contract extension popping up. Let's read a text. 303 says, you would absolutely think the CSU fan base has turned on Norvell if you take the temperature on Twitter and RamNation.com, but for being honest, that's the absolute loudest and worst of the CSU fan base. There are plenty of fans that are and will be supportive if they stick, if they stack wins going forward. Well, that's the thing, though. Those loud fans don't think those wins are coming. Not that they know, but it, you can't look at what's happened right now. And it is kind of like last year, I suppose, but you beat UNC by multiple scores last year. That was different.
But also UNC was different.
Yeah, that's true. So are you saying CSU's not as bad as we're kind of feeling like they might be on this Wednesday, September 24th?
No, I think last year's CSU team would have beaten UNC by at least a score, a legitimate score.
So you think UNC is just that much better?
I think UNC is that much better, and I think CSU is worse. I think the game would not have come down to the final play if it was this year's UNC team and last year's CSU team.
Everything starts with the quarterback, and clearly Braden Fowler-Nicolosi is worse than he was last year. And
he's having a bad year.
And he wasn't necessarily great last year. They found ways to win against a weak, weird, strange schedule in the Mount West. I don't know that that is going to be the case as we get there. But it'd sure be nice to have two wins. And then you'd need to find a way to win four games in the Mount West to get to a bowl. But I don't know if that's enough. I don't think it is.
I agree with a lot of the fans on Twitter. I don't think the wins are necessarily going to come. But also, I'm not going to be too loudmouth about it. Like, if I'm going to be loudmouth, I'm going to be loudmouth because I want to make a joke. But I... Look, if the wins come, keep the man. But if they don't, they might have to fire him at the end of the season, not in the middle.
Well, if you fire him in the middle, then you could set that interview up with Mike Gundy. Right?
You could.
Can you? I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe,
since
I don't know.
Since he's fired and you would move on from your coach, can you then, I don't know the rules on that.
Well,
process?
You could send a scout and accidentally run into Mike Gundy at
like a coffee
McDonald's
shop. Like,
oh, hey, Mike Gundy! Oh, I work for CSU. Surprise! I was just looking at someone here in Oklahoma.
Tongue in cheek, everybody. 38 minutes after the hour. I know it's Wednesday. I'm off tomorrow, so we have the Thursday night special coming up. We're going to give you that pick now. I need to go 3-1, Michael. I need to get this one because we don't want to go back to 500. We want to start pulling away. We stumbled a little bit last week, and now we look to regroup. Who do I like between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks tonight on Thursday, or tomorrow night on Thursday night's football? Mr. Thursday Night returns for a very rare Wednesday night selection. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.